Hi, friends. Welcome to Radiant Restoration Podcast. Will you renew your mind, body, and spirit, restore your faith, and reveal your true identity in Christ? I'm Robin Snow, daughter of the highest king, wife, and mom to two wild boys. I'm a work-from-home mom who has experienced the overwhelming goodness of restoration in my life, and I'm here to share it with you as we walk through motherhood together. Are you tired of just going through the motions of life, have no idea who you are beyond a mother, and lack any confidence in yourself anymore? Well, Mama, go reheat that coffee and prepare to renew, restore, and reveal what transformations the King has in store for you as we discuss holistic health routines you can easily implement to renew your mind, body, and spirit, build your faith in God and His plan for you and your family, and find your identity in Christ and what He has called you to do for the kingdom. Ready for a whole new you through Christ? Let's dive in. Hey, y'all. Jess is making me nervous. Hey, y'all. Thanks so much for tuning back in. I am so excited for this episode. I have my first guest host, and it just happens to be my very best friend, Jessica Burgess.
Hello.
I'm so excited. So just a little bit of a backstory. Jess has been in my life for quite a while, almost 12 years. I can always remember because it was literally like the first time I left the house after having a baby that I met her. And we have just been through so much in life together, a lot of great times, a lot of hard times. We've been through marriages, divorces, children together. And it's just been a really wonderful experience, and I thank God every day for this. But I asked Jessie to join me this week because I'm wanting to talk about marriage. And I thought, who better to discuss that with than the person I talk the most about my marriage to? So this week we're going to talk about He is Not the Enemy, learning to fight for your husband when the devil wages war on your marriage. And so we're going to cover kind of a, who knows what we'll talk about with as far as marriage, but one of the biggest things that I really wanted to focus on is when the devil is attacking your marriage, how to get back to that first love with your husband, and, you know, just to stand your ground and say that we're not going to let this break us. We're not going to let the devil get what he wants in this. This is a marriage that was bonded by God, and, you know, we were brought together, and we're going to fight through this. So I wanted to talk about some of the series that Pastor Joel has gone over in the last couple of weeks. So what, just tell us something that stood out to you about his love series.
What really stands out to me about the love series is that he just reminds you to remember, what brought you two together initially and that first love feeling and how to get back to that. Like, there's nothing like that initial first love when you're just like so smitten with each other and I want to know about you and I want you to know about me and you hang up, no, you hang up, you know, like that kind of feeling. And that's just something we kind of lose when we're married and we see each other every day.
We get comfortable.
We get so comfortable and we're like, well, they're going to be there regardless. They're married to me. So instead of trying to pursue them and like keep things interesting and fun and like it was, you know, in the beginning, we just kind of lose sight of that, especially when kids come and hardships, like financially, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we just really lose sight of that. And so when Pastor Joel preached on remembering things that made you love each other in the beginning and how you acted toward one another, that really spoke to me because I think that's, you know, a lot of us lose sight of that.
Right. It's not like your marriage is that bad or you may not even be having huge issues, you know, but there are ways that the devil can attack your marriage and cutting off communication, cutting off intimacy, pursuit, all of these things ultimately are the devil waging war on your marriage. And like, you know, we talked about before, like sometimes it took me a long time to, or a while to realize how bad my our relationship had gotten, mm-hmm. and that it was in a crisis state. And like it right. can silently be these things not happening and not taking place before it's a huge deal, you right. know?
Because you're comfortable and it's like, it's not a bad marriage, but it's not a great marriage. It's just we're comfortable. Like we're taking care of the kids, we're taking care of the house. We're still here. We watch a show at night or, you know, like we go to sleep together. Like it's
we're fun. Not fighting, we're not arguing.
Right. But now you have a roommate or a teammate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what God wants from your marriage.
Yes, yes. And I want to touch on the different face-to-face, side-to-side and all that in just a minute too, because that is definitely, you know, we're not just the partnership.
Right.
We've got to, it's got to be more. And so three things that he had pointed out to get back to that was remember, repent, and return. To remember what we're doing, what was there at first, what, like you said, what kind of, what had you so giddy and so excited mm-hmm. about the relationship? And then repent for the wrong, you know, that we have done and what we have, where we've been lacking.
Right.
And then to just return to doing those deeds at first. I want to go through these list of the deeds that he had pointed out, like that are common happening whenever you're in a first marriage or first love at the beginning of your marriage. It was sacrifice, communication, attention, fun dating, gifts, pursuit, and then affection. Do you have anything kind of to like add to any of those? Any of those stick out to you?
They all stick out to me because they're all so fun in the beginning. It's mm-hmm. like, what it's built of, it's why you want to marry that person. You know, you think that feeling's never going to go away. You're like, oh, it's so good with this person. I cannot imagine my life without them and all these things they bring to my life
mm-hmm.
and how they make me feel. So, yeah, like every single one of those stick out to me. The affection, like, you know, nothing's like that first when you're first falling in love with affection.
Yeah.
Just that constant wanting to, you know, touch or hug or, you know, hold hands.
And it's such a necessity in your life that you don't even realize unless you're lacking it, mm-hmm. that, you know, it's just that really, that you're right. They all play such a part. So one of the things with pursuit that stood out to me the most, what was Pastor Earl talking about, how the devil, you know, in early stages of dating, like pursuit is what makes the relationship different. That's mm-hmm. what turns it to an intimate relationship or turns it to you seeking that person in a different form than friendship.
Right, right.
And he's talking about that, you know, the devil just turns the pursuit up so hot when you're dating, you know, you want to move so much faster. You're having to control yourself, mm-hmm. a lot of these things. And, it was just, I don't know how I'd never thought about that, that it's just so crazy that it's like that whenever you're first with them, you know, and you're just dying to be with the person. And then he was talking about how he turns it up when you're dating, but then immediately when you're married, he's going to just rip it away, you know, turn it down. And, you know, I've absolutely experienced that in my marriage. And with kids,
right.
having babies, it definitely makes a big difference in that. But I think that was the one that stood out to me, that like, hey, this is something that has to continue in your marriage.
Right. So when the, you know, the pursuit part of the relationship starts to die down, like, you know, after you get married, here come kids, here come, you know, financial hardships, mm-hmm. maybe. Here come communication issues, and all of that leads to maybe not necessarily feeling like pursuing someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, that's
like
a good point.
Now I have a toddler to chase around. Like, I don't have time to chase you around. You
that's
know?
More of a priority to you.
Right.
Like, husband takes a major back burner.
Right, but that's not how God intended it.
Yeah.
He didn't say, put your children first and then your husband. You know,
that's
we have
right.
to take care of our spouses first and foremost, because our children, what did you tell us the other night? It was they're just God's lending them to us.
Right. Yeah. They're lent to us for 18 years. And I think that is why, you know, a lot of marriages fall apart right after you see kids go off to college or grow, and
because they didn't nurture the marriage,
right? And there's nothing, they don't even know the person anymore, and you know, and it may have not even been that the marriage was ever a bad situation. Right. It's just that when the kids are gone and you poured your entire life in into them, and that's all you focused on, you don't even know like who these people are that you're living with, you know?
Right. Yeah. So I think it's super important to try to get back to that place of, I want to be with you. I want to spend time with you. I want to pursue you. I want to know who you're becoming, because we are constantly changing. All of us, our husbands, wives, we are constantly changing. And you can't just think that because you married this person, they are always going to be the same.
Yeah.
You have to, you know, actively pursue them and get to know them every single day, because something changes every single day. You know, you might not see it, but over the course of years, you can look back and be like, this isn't how he was. I need to relearn him so I can cater to his needs, because our husbands have needs just like we do.
Right.
And I've always put my needs first very selfishly, because I felt like he doesn't go through what I go through here in this house. Like, he has it so much easier than me. How can he be struggling? Like, I'm struggling. Like, my struggle wins.
Right, exactly.
My struggle always wins, because mine, you know, I'm doing so much more. But that's so selfish for me to feel that. And I really try to work on that daily.
Same.
To not compare our situations, because I don't know what he's going through. I just assume that mine is harder because I can feel mine.
Yeah. You know what, y'all, you've dealt with and what you've faced. Yeah, I've definitely, that's something I've majorly had to work on, being more empathetic towards him. And I don't know if it was this one, but I know in one of the sermons, Pastor Joel even talks about that, about being, you know, seeing your spouse, being able to read that what's going on with them, instead of saying, why are you being like that? You know, you ask, like, what's going on? Why are you being like this? Or what are you feeling? What do you need? Yes. What is the problem? You know, and visually acknowledging and noticing those things. I think sometimes that life can be so busy and things can be going on so much that you don't even notice how the person really is being or responsive to things, or, you know, their body language. Like, we don't even take the time to slow down enough to really see what's going on with our spouse, because once again, we're so busy with the home and the kids and everything else that we let them take a backseat, but that's not the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
And one of the things that Pastor Joel pointed out that I really, like, hit me like a ton of bricks is, your husband needs to feel desired. It will heal him. And that was, like, really powerful to know that, you know, just like we need that feeling too, and that affirmation. It is physically a need for our husbands, and it's something that we should be, you know, to be intimate, to be affectionate with them, to love them.
We want to feel beautiful. We want to feel loved. We want to feel appreciated. And they do too. They want to feel like their wife is attracted to them. And they want that physical, intimate relationship with them. You know, not that they have to beg for it. Like, that's not what God intended in our marriage. He intended for us to have intimacy play a huge role in our marriage.
Yes, an important role. So the second step that was mentioned is, marriage can overcome anything except hardness of heart.
Yes.
And you said you were a firm believer in that, for sure. And I like the point that was made that's an example of that is, I can remember it. I can remember how things were, but I don't want to go back there.
Right. And I've dealt with that personally. My first marriage, that happened to me, you know, regrettably. Like, you don't want a marriage to end, and you don't plan that when you get married. And, but I think that's exactly what happened to me. I just developed a hardness of heart for my spouse, you know, and looking back, it's really sad to me. You know, not that I'm not grateful for all my experiences, because each and every one led me to the perfect person for me, to, you know, Eric, and I'm grateful for him, but I'm really sad that that that's a real thing that can happen, mm-hmm. is the hardness of your heart, because that is truly caring at its lowest, you know, like, right. you do not care.
No coming back from that. Like, you yeah. can come back from affairs, you can come back from lies, from addiction, from right. all kind of things. But once you have hardened your heart just, to that person, it's just...
It's over with. Yeah. And it's just a really sad thing. That's a very real thing. And I think that's why we all need to pray for God to soften our hearts towards mm-hmm. our spouse or towards our friends, towards people we may not care too much for. You know, you just want to keep that softness in your heart so God can continue to yeah. work with it. He can't work with a hardened heart.
Right. And resentment is a real thing. I mean, okay. resentment builds. So me personally, you know, I can say that I had seen that, you know, and I mm-hmm. had even told you, like, there were major signs of resentment, which would have ultimately led to a hardening of a heart mm-hmm. had I not, you know, said this is an issue and I'm going to fight back for my marriage. Right. I'm not going to let this end this way. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the greatest acts of love is the willingness to change, the willingness mm-hmm. to acknowledge that you haven't been doing it right, or you haven't been the best spouse to your spouse, and that things have got to change and that you got to be willing to change. And I love that you said about, like, praying for the softening of your heart, because I definitely, that I pray for that. And one of the biggest things that I prayed alongside that was to help me love Michael like God loved him, oh, see yeah. him the way God saw him, you know, the love that he had for mm-hmm. him and for our spouses. And I think that's important, to have that grace. You know, God's grace on us is so abundant. We are so undeserving of it. And our husbands deserve that grace too.
Right. They deserve that love and that sacrificial love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. that you need to come to your spouse with a servant's heart, with how can I serve you? What can I do for you? How, you know, if both of you are doing that in a marriage,
you're going to thrive.
How can you not? Like, I'm expressing my needs to you. You're meeting them.
Mm-hmm.
You're expressing your needs to me. I'm meeting them. Like, what are we doing? You know, like, that's how it's supposed to be.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And the last point is return, commit to doing the work. So mm-hmm. once you realize that there is a problem, begin to pray for your spouse, pray those prayers for your spouse, pray with your spouse. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, it's not an easy thing to do, especially if you've been in a season where there you are having hardening of the heart, not there yet, you know.
Yeah, not complete hardness.
Yeah, but yeah. you are resentment, there's issues. Like, it's hard to get, especially if you've cut communication out in your marriage, it gets hard to bring it back in. It gets uncomfortable. It's weird. It's like you don't even know how to talk to your spouse. But you have to push through and do things like that to commit to working together on your marriage.
Right. Yeah. You have to make time for your spouse. Eric and I, we like to do that in the morning time before the kids get up.
Yeah, we've started doing mornings too.
Letting the animals out before, you know, our barnyard.
The one time the house is quiet.
Yes. And so, I mean, yeah, we have to wake up a little bit earlier to do that. But, I mean, is it not worth it to strengthen your marriage?
And what better way to start your day? Like, I was at first waking up in the morning and doing my devotions and all that stuff. And I still do that now, but I get up with Michael and, you know, and we do coffee, if I have coffee at the house, and we'll do our devotions together. And it's like, you know, what better way to start your day? Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to be really hard, not saying things won't happen, but it's going to be really hard for your day to be going pretty bad if you leave the house and you've just spent time with God and you just spent time with your spouse. Like, yeah. that's a pretty good start to the day.
Right. And especially if you spend time with your spouse in God's word. Like, that's what we would do, you know, not every morning, because sometimes we are a little lazy and one of us sleeps in too long, but we would do a little devotion mm-hmm. together, and, you know, Eric would pray for us out loud. You know, that's a struggle for me, is praying out loud. And, but Eric comes in full force. Like,
yeah.
You know, we hold
and that's kind of like a turn on when your husband's like praying so boldly for your marriage. You're yeah. like, yeah, that's my man.
I know. I can't wait for you to get home.
yeah. But, I think it's such an important thing that, you know, it seems so silly, like, when I thought about, like, why haven't we been doing something like this? Like, why had we not set aside for time like this? But better late than never. That's right. What matters.
And if you think that you're too tired in the morning, you just want to get that extra, you know, 20, 30 minutes of sleep, just think about how tired you're going to be at the end of the day. And you right. know you're not going to do
it. And your brain is not going to be worth yeah. nothing. Or if you're me, yeah. like this.
You know, it's a lot easier to start your day with it, I think, because if you end your day with it, it's easier to push it off. And, you know, like, let's go to bed. We'll get up early in the morning.
Right. Yeah.
We'll do this tomorrow.
So much easier to just skip it and not do it. Yeah. For sure. So let's talk about the three kinds of marriage, because that was very interesting to me. When he was talking about the back-to-back, side-to-side, mm-hmm. and face-to-face. Do you want to describe that?
Sure. So, back-to-back, that's going to be a relationship where you're not communicating, you're not working together, you basically have your backs turned to each other, and you're doing your thing, your husband's doing his thing, and y'all aren't meeting, y'all aren't turning to each other, y'all aren't... You know, you may speak, but it's not healthy conversation.
Right.
You know, that's going to be your back-to-back. Your side-to-side is like, okay, great partners. I need to drop the kids off at school. Can you pick them up? Sure, honey. Yes, that, you know.
Working together as a team.
Working together. Everything's getting done. You're cooking supper. I'm putting clothes in the washer. Like, we are great. Like, we're not fighting.
And those are not bad marriage. No, like, they're, no. Marriage seems fine to those people. Yeah. Like, it's...
Yeah, and you need that in a marriage, but that's not all you need.
Mm-hmm.
What you need, you don't need to just be a roommate or a teammate to your spouse, you know? So, what you want is the face-to-face. That's, we're doing all those things like teammates, but we have that face-to-face intimacy. We have conversation. We care about each other. We want to meet each other's needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's something that it's not like every single day me and Eric are just face to face, just having the best relationship ever. But we do try to carve out time to be face to face with each other. Like, it's something that you have to work on every single day. It's not, okay, we've got it now. We're done with that. We've got the best marriage in the world. It's a daily struggle.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you have to put a lot of work into your marriage.
Mm-hmm. And I like that he points out that the face-to-face, mm-hmm. that is, once again, bringing it back to your first love, because he's talking about, like, when you're first dating, you're infatuated with the person. I mean, you're all face-to-face learning. Tell me about you. What do you need? What do you want? What do you desire?
Right.
Sharing ideas, letting them know that you'll sacrifice for them, you know, mm-hmm. like, but just, it all comes back to bringing it back to that first love.
Right. Because that's what we want. We want to feel that first love all the time. I mean, who doesn't want to come, like, be excited to walk through the doors and see them like you haven't seen them in weeks when you just saw them yesterday, you know, like,
yeah.
when you're first dating. Like, you cannot wait to be back face-to-face with that person.
Just right.
telling them, talking to them, listening to them.
Like, you're literally watching the time waiting for, like, when will it be time right. for them to be all... Yeah, and I mean, I've definitely been through every single one of these seasons, like, even the back-to-back. You know, our marriage went through a phase where we were both so busy doing different things that it was like we were not taking the time for one another. And then... So the face-to-face has been really nice, because it is, like you said, that, you know, your spouse is going to grow and change, and we're going to grow and change over the years and over time. So the side-to-side is, like, probably the most common, like, everyday thing, mm-hmm. but you just got to be remembering to bring it back to face-to-face so that you can learn your spouse again, learn the things about them, what are their needs in this season,
right.
how can you help them through whatever they're going through in that season. Because I think that's another thing, you know, just like we all as individuals are going through different seasons in life, our spouse is going to be doing the same, and your marriage is going to change their needs, their desires, the sacrifices you have to make are going to change over that period of time.
Oh yeah. It's like we were talking about earlier, you know, everyone's just in a constant state of change. Like, we're constantly evolving, we're having kids, we're changing careers,
yeah.
we're, you know, maybe being laid off, maybe, you know, like, just chasing something else, you know, pursuing our passions and dreams, and those are constantly changing. You can't ever get comfortable with who you think your spouse is.
Yeah.
Because you know how much you've changed over the years, just internally, you know, like you recognize, you know, things in yourself that you have changed. You're like, why did I used to do that? Like, that is not me anymore. And it's the same for your spouse. So you do have to come to them with grace and forgiveness and all these things. And you also have to come to them with, you know, a want to learn them, to get to know them again. Maybe get to know them every day.
An interest in them, like showing that interest. Because that goes back to like your spouse needs to feel like you're interested in them. You're attracted to them. Mm-hmm. You know, that spark is still there that sets them apart from every other person in the world.
Right. And why wouldn't you want to? Why wouldn't you want to get to know the person you're married to?
The person you're living with.
You know, there's a stranger in my house. You know, you don't want that. You know,
for real.
Like, we should just all actively be pursuing our spouse, going back to that first love. Like, that's just everything you say about this goes right back to that. Like, you just want the type of marriage that seems like the honeymoon phase never ends. So, y'all heard us mention Pastor Joel probably multiple times today, and that's because we've been in a series at Word of Life Church on love, and we took a lot of notes from that.
Yes, it was so great. I really enjoyed it. And I'm gonna try to attach the link here for you to be able to visit their website. You can look them up on all kind of social media platforms. They are live. They have a huge live stream platform, multiple campuses in the metro area. So if you're ever around or would like an online service to watch, Word of Life is definitely my recommendation. I would like to close us out in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this day. I thank you for bringing Jesse into my life, for someone that I am able to, you know, confide in and have there to help me in my struggles and to just be able to fight together for our marriages and against the things that that Satan has brought against us. You know, we know that he hates marriage. And he hates family. And it's just really great to be able to have people in your life that value marriage the same way that you do and that want to go out and help others know about it as well. Lord, I pray that whomever is listening to this, whatever they may be struggling with, may even if it's small, large, whatever that they may be dealing with in their marriage, I just pray that they will have the heart to want to change that and to want to work with their spouse about that and become one with their spouse again, Lord. We're praying blessings over all of these marriages. In your holy, wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So be sure to go give me a follow on Facebook and Instagram. You can find the information in the show notes. I look forward to seeing you guys next week. God bless.